nerdnerd.com.
Impossible gaming, impossible gaming, these games are hard. Impossible
we play
gaming,
games.
Impossible gaming,
they're
these
really
games are hard.
We play
gaming,
games.
Impossible gaming,
that
these
are
games are
hard. They're hard. Right here on Impossible Gaming.
On Impossible Gaming.
Hey, welcome to the Impossible Gaming Podcast. As always, we are your gracious hosts. I'm Chadley.
I am Tristan. I'm not that gracious, really.
You're not?
Just kidding. I'm very gracious.
You asshole! You fucking asshole!
Oh, whoa.
So this is, of course, a podcast that is paired with our YouTube show, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later. We play incredibly difficult games. You can go and check that out. It's called Impossible Gaming. It's a lot of fun. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, we're going to talk about all things gaming today. But first off, Tristan, what have you been playing recently?
I finally got around to figuring out what all the hype was about The Last of Us last year or so, or a couple of years ago almost now. I heard so many good things about it, and I was just thinking to myself, why did I never pick this game up? Well, I have picked it up now, and I'm playing it on the PS4 remaster, and it is just magnificent. If I had to compare it to anything, it would be Resident Evil 4. Mm. Gives me a lot of the same feelings that I had when I was playing that game. Just a fantastically paced survival horror game with great action, an amazing story, characters that are relatable, likable. Everything is just so good. I'm in love with this game right now.
Well, funny you would mention that, because middle of the week, you had texted me and you were like, dude, you gotta play The Last of Us, right? And I was like, oh, Tristan. Because of course, your review wasn't the only positive review I'd heard of that game. So I went out to my local store, I picked up a copy of The Last of Us, and I brought it home, and I swear to God, I was going to play it. I really was. I had every intention of playing it, but you know what happened when I got home? I put it on my shelf, and I was like, all right, time to play The Last of Us, or continue playing Skyrim.
So you're just still grinding the Skyrim, eh?
Oh, it is. I cannot believe it. It's the same sort of thing where I didn't get the hype. I was like, why does everybody love Skyrim so much? And then I started playing it and was like, oh, because it's the greatest experience of, so far from what I can tell, it's the best experience of last generation altogether. It's so immersive. There's a lot of shit you can do. Here's what I did for this game, and it's weird because I did like completely the opposite when I played Fallout 3. What I did for this game was that I totally ignored side quests, and I did the main plot, and then I finished that. But by the time I was finished that, I had like 12 or 15 side quests just like built up, and I was like, all right, time to just go and start those. And as I'm doing those, I'm still building up even more side quests, and I'm just enjoying the
side
quests,
man.
Now
yeah,
the last boss like of the main plot was probably like one of the easiest bosses I've ever fought in my life. But it's also, you know, like even the easiest boss I fought in the game. Like, there's way harder bosses, even in the main plot. But I find it funny that that's the way I'm doing it, right? Because basically, you go to Sovngarde and you basically destroy what is Satan in giant black dragon form. You know, take down the World Eater. And then you go to college and they're like, well, you're not very well trained, you pussy. And I'm like, you, fuck you, I took down the devil.
All right, man. So Skyrim, pretty good game, pretty great. I still think Morrowind was better.
You know what? I have Morrowind. I have not put it in. I put it in one time because here's the thing about Morrowind: is that I feel like it's going to be a great game, but the load times, man, they take forever.
That's true, but you get used to that, and trust me, it's worth the while. Also, don't give up on the game because it doesn't feature a lot of voice acting. You're going to have to read a lot in Morrowind.
Dude, my favorite...
The product of its time.
My favorite game series is Zelda. I don't really care about voice acting.
Yeah, but this is way more text heavy. But anyway, we're running long on that. So Skyrim, Last of Us, everybody knows they're good.
Great games on the PS3. So let's talk about E3, because that's what we talked about E3 last week, and there was a bunch of shit announced, and one of the things that was announced was Shenmue. Now, right after Shenmue was announced, it was also given a Kickstarter. They were like, we need $2 million to make this game work. And then once they raised the $2 million, Sony came out and was like, yeah, no, we're financially backing this game. And now a lot of people are pissed off because they feel like the entire Kickstarter was a sham because Sony had their back the entire time.
That is kind of bullshit, but, you know... Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why they would do that. Is it to make the game better with the funds that they're acquiring, or is it to just kind of troll the fans? They would never do that. There has to be a good explanation for this.
This is the best explanation that I can come up with. The best explanation I can come up with is that Sony wasn't 100% sure that a game like this would actually make money, and they needed proof that people actually gave a shit. That is the only explanation I can come up with.
Well, it's possible that the Shenmue creators were thinking maybe this series has been forgotten, but I don't think so. Everybody knows about Shenmue, or most people do, and if you're a gaming fan... especially if you had an Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You pretty much had to play it if you had one, so...
And if you had a Dreamcast, there really wasn't much else to play now, was there?
Well, yeah.
I mean, there was Sonic Adventure. That was great.
I really do like the Dreamcast, but it needed more support, that's all. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't understand really why... they would do this. It's still a well-known series. It's a well-known game that was in high demand.
Yeah. It's totally different from, like, we've seen this a few times in the last few months. These games coming on and they're like, we can't actually make this game until, you know, we get the certain funds. And there was Yooka-Laylee and Bloodstained. And I backed both of those. Yooka-Laylee, that's Playtonic, and basically what Playtonic is just these people from Rareware, and they're making like a spiritual successor to Banjo because Rareware fucked that up. And
yeah, well, you know what though, I really think that it's just, you might have the best explanation. I think Sony might just be gauging interest, and is there something wrong with that? Maybe, but there's also, They've been offering, I guess, things that you can essentially buy with your pledges from Shenmue 3 for $3,000. Now, I'm not going to pledge $3,000 to any game right now in my life.
Hey,
for $3,000, you can get the jacket that Ryu, how do you pronounce his name? Ryu. You can get his jacket from the game for $3,000 shipped to you.
The actual
one he wears in the game with the flag on the shoulder and everything.
I feel like I could make that for less than $3,000.
Absolutely, you could. You could make that for less than $300. But that's not really the point.
I could go and get like a college education for the price of that jacket.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. At least they're doing something. I don't know if there's any lesser prizes, I guess you might call them. Less expensive ones that they offer, but that was just one thing that I did read.
One thing I find I
think it's bad what they're doing, basically. But
one thing I find strange about this whole thing is, it's like with the Kickstarter, if you pledge $60, then you get the game, right? But I feel like if you're helping kickstart the project, you should get a discount on the game. $60 is probably what this is gonna cost. Whereas with Yooka-Laylee, you get the game for pledging $22, which is how much I pledged, because that's all I really want.
But dude, honestly, I think you're talking about how much Shenmue is going to cost when it comes out.
I mean, the price.
The it'll be $80.
Probably. And you know what? They'll probably have a special edition that's like $130.
$140. Yeah. That's the way gaming is going. So, yeah. But anyway, I'll be buying it. Even though I didn't actually play Shenmue 2, I just watched you play it.
Oh, dude, it's so good, though. Like, and, like, the thing about the Shenmue series is it's, like, it's the slowest moving game series ever. It's just a lot of walking around, talking to people, and then every now and again you sort of get, like, this Virtua Fighter-style fighting fight.
Yeah.
You know,
King of Fighters or whatever.
Yeah, it's sort of like King of Fighters, right? But, like... it's really a slow moving game, and then you get to the end and you're like, holy shit, did I plug 45 hours into a game that has probably less than 20 fight scenes in it? What the
well,
fuck?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the story just must be that good.
It is.
But we gotta move on from that. Games not shown at E3, so there's a lot of games that were left off the board, I guess, this year at E3 that may actually be in production.
One, of course, the most notable that a lot of people are just like, holy shit, how is this not shown in 3D, is The Legend of Zelda. For Wii U. I get it, and Reggie Fils-Aimé and Shigeru Miyamoto are like, oh yeah, we didn't show it because we didn't want to piss people off. But here's the thing about that, is that Reggie Fils-Aimé had the fucking nerve. The day after E3, he said, I know we didn't show Legend of Zelda, but don't worry, I've seen all the new footage and it looks great. Fuck you.
Yeah, he's kind of a troll, but he has a history of being like that. So, I mean, are you really surprised?
Well, yeah, and it's like...
Go on.
It's sort of like how he trolled everybody last year in the Nintendo Direct when he had made like that joke where there was a guy in the audience going like, we want Mother 3, and he shoots him with a fireball, and then guess what, we didn't get fucking Mother 3. Cause, like,
yeah, but you know what, in the same token, I feel like everything he did with Mother 3 is kind of maybe a way that they gauged interest again.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna go back to gauging interest. Why do you think we have Earthbound Beginnings now?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I get why Mother 3... People are pissed off that Mother 3 didn't come to North America. But have you seen the price of an Earthbound cartridge? You want to know why they're that expensive? Because it's sold like shit here. Why the hell would they put out a third game
here? It's sold like shit, but it's definitely a very, very popular game now.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I think it was a smart move. Now, Earthbound Beginnings and Earthbound are both on the Wii U shop, and if you have a Wii U, I urge you to go and purchase both of those, because as soon as like those two games make a lot of money, that's when they'll go, okay, localizing this game might make us some money.
Earthbound's definitely made them boatloads of money as it is, but really, Final Fantasy 15 not at E3?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It's their big game coming up, but then when they talked about Final Fantasy 7 and Final Fantasy 14, that's fine. Final Fantasy 7, I get. They announced the remake. Final Fantasy 14, I think they need to pack up.
15. Oh, sorry, you're talking about the expansion to 14.
Yeah, I'm talking about...
No, dude, that's still a successful game, highly successful.
I know, and it's, you know, it's actually a pretty decent game once you have, like, the... What was it? The Knights Reborn Realm, or what's that called? What's that expansion called?
It is Realm Reborn.
Realm Reborn, yeah.
Yeah,
you know the one I'm talking about. And then I've heard that the new one's actually pretty decent as well. It's a pretty decent game, but like, it's to a point where I get uncomfortable when the next Final Fantasy 15 is on its way. They're making it, but they actually have a lot of people working still on Final Fantasy 14. Like,
well, they have to, though. But they have different teams. Final Fantasy 14 being an MMO, they will have a separate team working on that constantly to keep gamers who like that game and subscribe to that game. It's still doing well enough to have subscriptions. It's not free to play, so that means it's making money.
Is it not free to play like on the PS3 either?
No, you have to pay. You pay, and people do pay. That's why it's a successful game. You know it's a successful game because it can continue on that pay scale.
Man,
so
that's bunk.
Well, hey, but it's not, because really it stops the game from having to have microtransactions, which is much, much worse for MMOs.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hey, whoa, this is a topic for a different time. My point is they have different teams working on Final Fantasy 15, 14, and the remake of Final Fantasy 7, guaranteed. So they're working on both of those at the same time.
That's true. Another one that I want to mention, this one's pretty notable, Scalebound is a game that Platinum Games announced last year. We only saw a little bit of it. It looked like a medieval-type monster hunter fighter game made by Platinum, and we heard from it last E3, and now it's like gone silent. Why?
Um,
It could be the fact, all
I know is right now it's classified as an Xbox One exclusive that will be coming out. Let me see.
It could just be
Crackdown skipped E3 as well. So, I mean, they're just, I don't know. Maybe they feel like people know enough for now.
I guess. I mean, maybe it's just way in the future still. There was a ton of other stuff we didn't see. We didn't see anything from Grand Theft Auto 6, even though we did hear a little bit about Grand Theft Auto 6, despite the fact that there are rumors.
Yeah, I feel like hearing anything about Grand Theft Auto 6 would be far too soon right now.
Yeah,
let it sit for a bit.
That's true. There's one in particular that I wanted to mention, because this actually made me mad, okay?
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay, you ready for it?
I'm not really.
Imagine me, alright? 21-year-old gamer. I love me some Japanese RPGs. Love me some JRPGs. And then all of a sudden, Square Enix posts a teaser video for their E3. This is like a week before E3, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's probably just going to be text on a screen or whatever. So I'm watching the video. I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, this is all right. It's just text on a screen over music. And then it occurred to me. I stopped dead in my fucking tracks and was like, oh my god. That is the music. That is Frog's theme from Chrono Trigger, and it's in a Square Enix E3 teaser video. What are they doing? What are they doing? And I had to flip out.
Yeah, you thought they were going to make a new Chrono game.
Oh, Chrono and the buddies back? Like, Chrono, Frog, and Ayla, and Robo, and Magus?
But here's the thing, man. You totally jumped the gun on that assumption.
Oh, but no, but they teased it. They teased it with the music. Why else would that music be there?
Because it's fantastic music.
That's true. But, like, there's fantastic music from other game series that were represented here. They could have used...
Hey, man. Whoa, let me just slow you down here. I know you're going to go on a bit of a rant here. Maybe they're gauging interest.
Oh, that's... You know what? That would make sense. And if that is what they're doing... And you know what? Maybe that's even what Project Setsune is. We don't know anything about it, right? Other than a couple of concept pieces.
Right, we keep going back to the whole gauging thing. Do you think there will be another Chrono game?
Do I think there will be another Chrono game? Probably not, but I'm still optimistic for it.
I would be surprised if there isn't one.
Really? Because there hasn't been one in 15 years.
That's right.
And the
but
original...
obviously they know that it has drawing power. They keep re-releasing it on everything.
Yeah, that's true. It's on PS3. It's on Wii. It's on Nintendo DS.
I would be very, very shocked if we didn't get one within the next 5 years. But that's just me. I think we better move on from this topic, though. We got to go to some of the other topics on the board. We have GameStop selling retro games.
Yeah, they're trying this out sort of in the west end of the United States, like the west side over in like the New York area. And
side?
Chicago and
you
stuff like that.
Probably ignore that.
I think this is an awesome idea. I really hope that comes east.
Yeah, I was talking. I work at a pawn shop. For those, for you at home, I sell retro games all the time at this pawn shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm talking with my coworkers one day, and I'm thinking, why doesn't GameStop clue into this? They could start selling Super Nintendo games. They'd fly off the walls like hotcakes. Get rid of your PS3 section. You don't need it anymore. Replace that shit with Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. You'll make money.
I still remember. We make money. I still remember when GameStop used to sell like retro games. In fact, my copy of Star Fox 64, I got it at GameStop.
Right, and here's the thing: from my workplace, from their perspective, it's a bad thing for GameStop to start doing this because it'll cut into our business. Mm-hmm. People will come to us because they know we have all the retro games. Now GameStop will start getting them too. So a little uneasy there, but. I just think it's such a good moneymaker. Why is it taking them so long to catch on? And why don't they just do it?
I think they're so cautious. I think retro game collecting has become a lot more popular in the last, I don't know, 10 years than it was before that. Pre-2005, people were excited about what was new and upcoming, but now there is.
Well, that's true, but yeah, but now it's like we're here. We're in the, I guess, you know. Pretty
future.
Much, we're in the future. Yeah, there you go. We're in the future now. And you know what? chances are there's still more great games from the past than there are from the past couple generations. You know what I mean? Like from the long past that you can just dig up, and maybe you haven't even heard of a game, and it's a great game. You pop it in, you're blown away by it. The game was made 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think
it's just such a different feeling than, oh, well, GameStop says, or GameSpot says this game's a 9 out of 10. I got to get it for $80. I'm going to buy it on my PS4. And I'm going to like it, I guess, because everybody else does. Well, you know, I think retro gaming, as a whole, is just so much more of a treasure hunt these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much more exciting.
And if you know me, and you know this as well, is that I'm a big retro game collector. I love, building all my collection. I have about 40 NES games, about 50 Super Nintendo games, and I am continually making that collection bigger. So there are people, there's lots of people just like me who are out there every day, going to garage sales. GameStop, you're making people to go to garage sales and fucking flea markets looking for scraps when you could be offering this primo package, retro games.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they're also going to start selling like Dreamcasts and Dreamcast games, Dreamcast consoles as well, which would be a big thing for a lot of people. It'd be a big thing for me because personally, I don't got a Dreamcast and I want one.
Yeah. You know what? I think I already mentioned that earlier. The Dreamcast just to me is such a charming system. It's another topic for another time, but I love the Dreamcast, and I just wish that it could have stuck around a little bit longer.
Absolutely. So, up next, Criterion. It's just been released that Criterion was supposed to be making a Wii U version of F-Zero for the Wii U's launch, but they didn't. Of course, Criterion is, the makers of what I think is probably the best racing series in, out right now. Burnout.
That's your opinion. I'm still with Forza.
I know you like Forza, but I gotta say, man, Burnout's really fun. My brother just got really into Gran Turismo, Gran Turismo 5 on the PS3, which I've never played, but he's got me interested in it.
I liked Gran Turismo 1, 2, and 3.
2's great.
Past that, I just haven't cared for, but that's just me personally. Wii U F-Zero, man, that would have been the shit. Like, why did we get that?
That would have been something. What I like about the Wii U too is that a lot of games interpret these motion controls, and not like the Wii where it's just excessive and annoying. The Wii U, they have what's the word I'm looking for? They're subtle, and they're not game-breaking if it fucks up. Like, for instance, in the Legend of Zelda games, it's mostly just using the control pad, but you bust out that arrow, and then you use the Wii U pad to aim it around, and that's pretty cool, And
yeah, I feel like motion controls, when used in the proper times, in the proper ways, can be excellent. But yes, the Wii was plagued by... It was a kind of a new thing to so many gamers that it had to be just shoved in your face a little bit, just to get the message across. This is the new way for Nintendo. But now it's nice to know that it's there, but it's not necessary all the time,
And the real tragic thing is like with the Wii, all of the best games on the Wii are games that didn't necessarily...
Well, not all of them, but hey,
probably the best ones, like Super Mario Galaxy 2, there was the attack where you shake the Wiimote, but that could have been replaced by a button,
That's true, yeah.
In Wario Land Shake It, you use the Wiimote, and you shake it up and
down. Such a great game.
It's a fantastic game. You shake it up and down. You could have just used the control pad for that, Even Mario Kart Wii, I don't know anybody who actually uses the Wii Wheel. Everybody I know uses GameCube because the Wii Wheel is annoying.
Oh, I used to use it sometimes. It can be annoying, but if you've got it calibrated correctly, it can actually feel pretty nice. But anyway, it is what it is.
We gotta
get back to F-Zero here,
I guess,
man.
Yeah, the point is that F-Zero could have used... that subtle control, and you could use the Wii U gamepad as a steering wheel, but like a little bit more subtle than you would in Mario Kart Wii, and I think it would have worked.
But subtlety with F-Zero is not really something we're used to. Can you imagine going like 800 miles per hour and actually being able to subtly control your racer?
I mean,
going back to F-Zero, was it GX, I think it was called?
Yeah, on GameCube.
On GameCube, the handling in that was bonkers. Pretty good, but it was also like you're going so fast that it's bonkers. It's crazy. I can't imagine being able to comfortably control yourself with any kind of motion control in a F-Zero game.
And if we learned anything from season one of Impossible Gaming, you are trash at F-Zero.
Yeah, if you ever watched that video, which you should.
That's what, episode two?
Yeah, episode two, F-Zero GX. I struggle to play that game, and let's just say it busts my balls up, something vicious.
Back when Impossible Gaming was a wee lad.
Yeah, back when it was just knee-high to a grasshopper. We should move on to the Arkham Knight. I just want to say it's getting rave reviews everywhere except for the PC. What's going on?
Xbox One and PlayStation 4, they got great reviews. Apparently,
it's just excellent.
Game.
I understand. Yes,
I guess I don't know exactly what's wrong with it, but apparently the PC version is such a mess.
It's riddled with glitches, I hear.
Riddled with glitches. And this is, I think, sort of a... sort of the result of this whole, you know, PC Master Race thing, right? Where these people were coming out and being like, "Well, if you don't have a PC, you're a fucking pussy, and you're not a real gamer." And then all of a sudden, we're getting a port of a game that was intended for consoles. It was built for consoles, and then it comes to PC. Oh, and guess what? It's garbage. It works both ways.
It just goes back to the whole Steam explosion, man. These games are coming out on Steam now because it's such a moneymaker, and PC gaming isn't going away anytime soon. But it's just some games aren't going to translate that well. So, I mean, you're going to get some performance issues here and there. Even with the highest standards by today's gaming computer standards, sometimes things just aren't going to work proper. And that's pissing a lot of people off with a lot of like $5,000, $6,000 machines that they've put a lot of time and money into, and it still can't run a game like Arkham Knight properly. And that, it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Well, and the thing is apparently this PC port is so bad that they've actually gone now. Warner Brothers has taken it off of game shelves and removed it from Steam.
They're apologizing, and I think they're in the process of fixing it.
I don't know. Are they going to fix it, though? Like, because they have one of two options.
Yeah, they are. They are fixing it. They're in the process of doing so.
But if they didn't, they would save a lot of money. They would have saved a lot of money if they just didn't fuck it up in the first place. But, like, to me, the Arkham games, and this is just me talking. I really like Arkham Asylum, one of my favorite games, and Arkham City, but you know, Arkham Origins wasn't, you know, very good. But to me, they just kind of feel at home on a console. You know, like I feel like they don't really work for PC.
You got to put yourself in the shoes of a PC gamer. A PC gamer can effectively, easily create the same feeling that you will get from playing a PS4 with their machine, because you can plug in a controller that's just as good to your gaming PC, sit back with all the same kind of button layouts on your controller, and play it on your TV, even if you wanted to, with the HDMI cord. What's the difference, man? Like,
yeah, but at that point, why not just get an Xbox or a PS4?
Well, because this powerful machine can play things that it can play. If there's going to be a Gears of War PC port, for example, it can play that, and it can also play, say there's a Last of Us PC port, it can play that too. So you don't have to deal with all the console specific crap. But here's the main point. Here's the main point. Warner Bros. Is working on fixing and patching the Arkham Knight PC game. Arkham Knight itself has earned a good reputation already. Elsewhere, console gaming. I don't understand what the problems were or why there were so many problems, but I hope they fix it.
Yeah.
Because it is a good game.
Don't fuck up so much, WB. How about that?
Well, this is the first major roadblock they've hit with the series, I think.
Drop the mic.
They'll fix it.
So another thing that happened this week is that we got a brand new trailer for the movie Hitman Agent 47.
Oh, God, make it stop. Did they not learn from the first one?
I can't believe they're making a sequel because that first one...
Is it a sequel or is it a reboot?
I don't know. If it's a reboot, didn't they make that first one like 3 years ago?
No, 5 years ago at least now, man.
It wasn't that long ago.
All I know is it sucked and it's been removed from my memory.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, it's not Max Payne.
Hey,
bad,
you
but
know
it's
what? Bad. You know what? Hitman should not be getting movies. I'm a big fan of the Hitman series, as I've already said in episode one of this podcast series, but it's not a big enough gaming series to merit a movie. It's not.
No, absolutely. And here's the thing: is it just like I feel like. After X amount of years, starting in, 1993, there should have been a point where Hollywood just goes, do we just stop making video game, movies now? There has to be a line.
Let me just think about this. Has there been a really, really standout good video game movie taken straight from a series?
The only one I can think of is a fan-made movie called called Metal Gear Solid Philanthropy, and even that had its problems, but like an actual
theatrical Hollywood release.
What about Far Cry? You balls Far Cry or Postal or Resident Evil Apocalypse? You put me on the spot here, man. There's no Prince of Persia.
My silence speaks many different languages right now, and they're all saying, fuck off.
I think the closest they ever got was with Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal, but even that.
Oh, come on
awful.
Now. Don't defend that.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's the closest they've come. Maybe the first Resident Evil movie, but even that's pretty awful.
In our opinion. But anyway, moving on from that, yeah, I just don't think it's a good idea to make a Hitman movie again. Bethesda, what's going on? Taking in bottle caps as payment for Fallout 4. That's pretty badass.
2,240 bottle caps.
If I could have known, I probably have that many in my house right now. I drink so much soda, it's so unhealthy, man.
But here's my problem with this, is that this guy, you know, oh yeah, it's sort of like the game, right? Because you have bottle caps in the game. Ah, how cute. Bethesda's fucked up, though, by accepting that as payment, because now they're going to have bottle caps at their doorstep all the time. Because people are going to be like, that guy did it. Possibly,
but here is why it's genius from a public relations perspective. This is why it's genius. Because it's a funny story. It gets people talking about the game even more. It makes them stand out from any other company because they did this. And to them, they might have gotten $80 for the game from somebody. That $80 that they lost, they gained so much public recognition.
It really is a PR move, but
it's a masterful move. It's great. I love it.
But then you have to think about what the public relations department at Bethesda has to do now, because there's even if one other person sends in the bottle caps, they have to email them back and be like,
What they're going to do, and I'm sure they may have already done this, is just release a press release that says, hey guys, that was a one-time thing. And that's it. If people are mad, then it really doesn't matter.
I think it's possible that you could piss people off, because now that you've given that special privilege to one person,
it's just so funny, because he did it on his own spontaneously, whereas these people would be copying him. It's a one-time deal. I think people will get over it and realize that. I don't think it's the end of the world for anybody.
All right. Fair enough. I'll give you that. So that's all of the gaming news that we have on the docket this week. But we're also going to start a new, what do you call it? A new segment. Retro Flashback. Oh, I love it. I'm taking that and I'm going to sample that every time we do the Retro Flashback from now on. Basically, we're going to take turns picking a game that we want to sort of reminisce on from our childhood. I got to go first, so my pick was NBA Jam on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, man. Well, NBA Jam was great no matter when you played it or what console, or if even if it was in the arcade. NBA Jam, I'm no NBA fan. I don't like basketball personally, but you don't have to like basketball with NBA Jam. It's just one of those games that's fun no matter who you are.
One thing I constantly think about, though, with NBA Jam is it's like there's not a whole lot that sets it apart from any other basketball game. There's not much that sets it aside or apart from NBA Live, but for some reason...
Whoa, there totally is. They're completely different, Chadley. Live is an actual simulation. It's got all the rules. It's got... You know,
true. The right amount
of people are on the court in NBA Live.
Yeah,
in the Jam series, it's arcade. You can do things that you're not supposed to be able to do in a basketball game. It's completely different, Chadley. Come on now, NBA Jam was arcadey. You could hit your opponent. You could do basically whatever. You could light yourself on fire or your opponent. The crazy stuff. You know what my best memory of NBA Jam is? It's not even of that game. It's of Looney Tunes basketball. Because Looney Tunes, if you can get Looney Tunes to rip off your idea and release it for the Super Nintendo as their own game, you know that your game, NBA Jam, has done fucking glorious.
You've made it. Looks like we made it.
I was playing the Looney Tunes basketball game, loving it. Didn't even know about NBA Jam at the time. And I'm playing with Wile E. Coyote and Elmer Fudd and all that. And it's a great game, fantastic game. Couldn't recommend it more. So much fun. I don't like basketball, love the game, but it's just a ripoff of NBA Jam. And that speaks so well of NBA Jam. It's never been duplicated quite as well as the originals.
You know,
it's as far as sports games go, it's along the lines of Tecmo Super Bowl.
It's just
one of those games that's fun no matter who you are. You don't have to like the sport, you're gonna have fun.
I spent some time with NBA Jam this week. I busted out the old Sega Genesis, which I haven't used in a while, and it's dirty as shit, but I busted out the old Sega Genesis, and I was playing NBA Jam, and I was just sitting there and just, like, loving it so much. But the thing is, like, once you get really into NBA Jam, especially when you're playing against a CPU, it's really just, you know, basket for basket. So you're just going up 2x2x2x2, and then you just have to be lucky and end the game when you're in the lead.
Well, the thing about NBA Jam is also like the same thing with the Looney Tunes basketball game. It's so much better with co-op or with another player. Head to head with another player. So much more fun with multiplayer. And, it's just one of those games where you could just crack open a beer or 12, you know, and just sit around and play with your friends. Not unlike the fun factor of a Smash Brothers. And that it's weird to think that I would equate the two, but the fun that you'll have with a game like that is kind of the same in some ways.
Yeah, no,
you're laughing, you're having a good time, crazy shit's going on, and everybody's just having a good time. And that's why NBA Jam is so special.
I think I agree with you on that. There was, you know, I love the game. Absolutely love it. But I did have a couple of picks about it. Number one, where's the Toronto Raptors? I always thought that was weird. Why can't you be the Toronto Raptors?
Were they in the league? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not, but I feel like they were, because that was like, what, 93? That was the time when everybody had those gray Chicago...
Take a look here at the Toronto Raptors and see when they came into the league. of the NBA.
But I remember at the time, everybody had like those, remember those gray sweaters that were really popular?
They found it in 1995, so I think
it would have been before. That makes a bit more sense.
However, there have been many re-releases of NBA Jam that have been updated for the times. So if you want to bust out the Toronto Raptors, then you can.
One of the most notable updates was the Wii version that came out. It was a Wii exclusive at first, but they eventually ported it to Xbox 360 and PS3. It's just called NBA Jam, and it was sort of like the original. Like it was they made the characters' heads bigger and just made the game sillier in general, which was a good thing, but also a bad thing. You know, it sort of set it aside as its own game.
But that's a good thing. Like you have the original, and you have this other one that's also fun.
Yeah, they're both a lot of fun. I remember about the reboot was that there was these wacky commentators saying things like, "Oh, and he dunked it from downtown," you know, like things like that, or like "Shamalama ding dong." Like,
oh, awesome, man!
Yeah, no, that was probably that was probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, so if you're not a sports fan. I'm not going to talk about Tecmo Super Bowl on this series, most likely. So I'm just going to say that game, also, if you haven't played it, is another one of those ones. You don't have to like football, American football, I'm saying, to enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. NBA Jam's the same way. If you're not a sports fan, don't shy away from it. It's a great game, no matter what. Pick those games up. That's all I have to say.
And you know what? I kind of feel the same way. Just like this is just one last little bit here on the subject. I kind of feel the same way about the Xbox 360 NHL 2K games, the NHL games that 2K made. I feel like they're
definitely 2K. I don't know why they don't make more NHL games. 2K Sports. They stopped.
I have NHL 2K8, and I have put. I'm not even that big of a sports fan, and I have put an embarrassing amount of hours into that game. It's so much fun.
Yeah, the 2K sports games in general are very good. The NBA 2K series is one of the strongest series in sports games right now for good reason. Well, we're talking about sports more than I thought, but I think it was NHL 2K7, I think, on my Xbox, and it was the best NHL game that I had played up to that point. I do think that NHL 14 is better than it, but if you want arcadey fun, if you want just a different feel, then go back and play those games. They're still good.
I found out like a perfect way to score in those NHL games. So like what you would do is you would go behind the net and then come back out in front of it, and as you're passing by it, you'd shoot it and it would score every time. So like
I think that would have been the old NHL 94 trick.
Then when I would look at the score of games, like I used to play as Boston Bruins, right? So it would be like Edmonton Oilers 2. Boston Bruins, 44.
Because you can just keep doing it. That's NHL 94, though. Another topic for another time. Also a classic, by the way. So we're getting to talking about Impossible Gaming now,
Let's talk about Impossible Gaming. We released, I think it must have been like a week and a half ago now, a brand new episode on Masters of the Universe for Atari 2600.
Atari 2600, yes. That game... So I'm still struggling to understand it, really. I don't know whether or not it was Skeletor that was shooting the bone up at me.
Must have been, but like once you kill
him. It has to be, right? Once you kill him, he appears again, though.
If it's not Skeletor, then it literally has nothing to do with Masters of the Universe. If that's not
literally,
Skeletor.
Yeah, that's the confirmer right there. But let's talk about some of the memories of recording that episode. I think what happened with that episode was we thought we had finished it once, and we thought, wow, this is going to be a magnificent episode. And I think it was this episode where we didn't actually record any of it, and we were like celebrating a great performance. We were like, this is going to be the best. And then we're like, oh, wait, shit.
No. That wasn't Masters of the Universe.
Are you sure?
Maybe it was. I thought
I
that
think
was.
I think it was, man. Because it was just so quick. And I think the reason why we weren't more pissed off at ourselves is because it was short.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We didn't record a lot of when I went back and started editing this, it was kind of hard to edit, and it's actually hard to edit the videos that have to do with the Atari 2600, because here I am, I'm trying to make this as visually interesting as humanly possible.
But yeah.
With a game like this, it's basically the same screen the entire time. So yeah, I had a lot of difficulties in that respect, but we also didn't have a lot of footage to go off either. I think we had about 25 minutes worth of footage.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm saying. I think what happened, man, I am 99% positive this was the game where we thought we had just recorded an episode and we hadn't even pressed the record button. And, so we totally screwed up, or somebody didn't press record on their mic, so we were totally screwed.
Oh, you know what?
We had to redo it, and we were thinking, "Ah, crap, we'll never get it right a second time." And then I really feel like we managed to pull it off.
You're right, though. You're right. And you know what? It was 100% me who forgot to push record on the microphone. So whoopsie, my bad. But what we ended up getting was, you know, a really good episode. It's also the shortest episode we've ever done. It's about 7.5 minutes. Most videos, I think the shortest other than that is, I think, Alf, which sits at about 10 minutes.
And 9.5 or so, I think. But yeah. So, I mean.
But like, yeah, like I said, we had only about 25 minutes worth of footage, where normally we have about an hour worth of
stuff. Yeah. And a lot of stuff gets left out. A lot of funny stuff probably gets cut sometimes, too. But what are you going to do, man?
I can't put out like a 50.
Can't keep it all in.
But there was one in particular. What was I thinking about? Oh, right. Alf. Alf, there was so much footage, and like, it was so boring to trudge through it because we didn't get anywhere in that game because it was awful. And I think we had like an hour and 15 minutes worth of footage, and it was just the worst. Masters of the Universe, though, I'd say it's a pretty solid episode. It's not, I still think that the best episode of this season. You and I are going to differ on this one. What was the one that you said?
So far,
because there's still two episodes left.
Honestly, you know what? I was thinking to myself for most of the season that Space Ace was the best of the series, or of the season, but probably of the series as well. But now, having watched the Smash TV episode again,
it's a good one.
I had more rolling laughter during that episode than I think I have any other in the series, and I think maybe it's just the way that we did it. A certain moment in that episode where I'm gloating about having defeated Mutoid Man, and you're dead by this point.
You're being an asshole about the whole thing.
Completely still on the screen, just like, yeah, I did it completely on my own, and this little orb comes in and just fucking destroys me.
Fucks you up, yeah. Yeah, you were being such a... I remember after the Super Smash TV episode, like, I was legit mad at you. You were being such an asshole. But, no, but
you know, a side note, I had a friend of mine come up to me, and he and his girlfriend watch Impossible Gaming, and his girlfriend actually said to him, why is that Tristan guy always such an ass? And I was thinking to myself, Brad does it too.
Chadley is the victim. No, yeah, I'm an asshole to you, but like, I feel like here's the thing, is that like in real life it's totally reverses how you are a vicious asshole, like on the show, and I am a vicious asshole off the show, where it's completely opposite. Because like, I play the victim so hard, like sometimes I'll be like, come on man, don't make fun of me. But one episode that did remarkably well that I'm actually surprised about was the Jim Powers episode. We'll get a whole bunch out of the way right now, just because it's the first time we actually talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to talk about really like that Jim Power episode. It hit 1,000 views somehow on YouTube. We're still fairly baffled at how our views are getting so high, but.
Yeah,
it's great to see people are taking interest, I guess. But I was very surprised. I also just feel like that episode is just, you know,
it's definitely weaker because we had recorded it initially for season one. And
yeah, it just kind of got lost in the show.
It just I got lost on my computer somewhere, and then I found it one day. I was like, "Hey, Tristan, I mean, like, I kind of have this video, and it's unedited, and so I kind of went through, and I made some edits. I tried my best to you know, spit
shine. I think, we were both kind of burnt out by that point when we were recording that episode.
Yeah, that was
We were doing an episode almost every single day through season one of recording, and I guess we just weren't feeling it. We had just done the Jurassic Park episode, which was to be the final episode of season one. It was fantastic. And we just, you know, I feel like we kind of were jumping the shark a bit for that time.
We had a few other episodes too that were like completely lost. I don't even know what the fuck happened to them, that weren't that good either. We did one on Super Smash TV that we then redid because it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But one that I remember being spectacularly bad was that we recorded for season one, we had recorded an episode for Sword Quest, Earthworld.
I
just remember after recording just being like, fuck, that is going to be awful. Like, that is just going to be awful. And then it got lost. Maybe on purpose. Maybe by accident. I don't know.
Who knows? Chadley knows. But anyway, let's see. So right now, my pick for – I know it might sound like we're pimping out our own product or something like that, but I really think it's been a strong season. But I think – I give the edge to Smash TV personally. What is your favorite?
I love Space Ace, dude.
Yeah, Space Ace.
I love Space Ace.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
I also really like the Spider-Man and X-Men one. I think that one's really, really solid, especially just because, like, that game just fucks you. Like, you are awful. You are just...
yeah.
And, like, I'm sitting there, and, like, I had played the game because we had talked about doing it, and I'd been playing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And just, like... watching you play it, and you hadn't played it in years, and I had just played it, was so frustrating, because you sucked. You were so awful.
Well,
at it.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like reenacting my childhood, man. every couple months, I would rent that game, and I would try it again, and I couldn't, because I was a stupid kid, I couldn't figure out why I wasn't enjoying it. The reason why I wasn't enjoying it was because it's a fucking shitty game, but my brain is overloaded with this thought of Spider-Man and X-Men, it's gotta be good! It's gotta be! They're on the case! Look at this! The artwork! It's gotta be good! No, it's a hunk of fucking shit.
it's not a very good game, that's for sure. I also do want to say right now is that I if you're a big fan of the show, I'm sorry, because right now I am working on the next episode. I don't know when it's going to be done. I am working really hard on it, but it's going to be a big episode, so I'm trying to do a lot to it.
It's going to be magical.
It'll be magical. Hopefully, I'm thinking it'll probably be out by the time we do the next podcast. If not... do a little sneak peek, but I think it will. And then once that video is out, we really only have the season finale. I also think it's a wise decision to sort of spread them out as well. Mostly because we have season 3 set to start in August. We want as little of a gap between season 2 and season 3 as possible, but we also want a big enough gap that they are considered two different things.
Yeah. So, I'm going to do an odd thing here right now.
Yep.
What do you think is our worst episode?
Wow. We've got some shitty ones, man. Like I love our show, but man, we've got some...
got some ones that weren't so good.
There's definitely some ones I do not love. Wow, if I had to pick an absolute worst... probably... You know, I know exactly. And I bet you... Why don't you say yours first? Because I bet it's the same one.
I bet it's the same, too. Dino Ricky.
Dino Ricky, man. It's awful. It's a very bad episode.
I apologize for that episode.
It's almost nonsensical.
I apologize for the nonsensical direction of that episode. Because things that were said during the conversation we had during that game, a lot of it got edited out.
Yeah,
and a lot of the jokes don't make any sense, and it's just like, what are these two idiots talking about?
Yeah, that was mostly my bad, because
but even still, the whole premise of the jokes that were being laid down were not good, and the game itself really isn't that interesting. So it's just, I'd say it's by far our worst episode.
Well, yeah, there was that whole bit where you were pretending that I just wasn't there, like a
yeah, it was pretty weak.
It was a weak bit, and I feel like and a similar.
It was impossible to understand too because of the editing, but yeah. You know, so it's like kind of on both of us. Not a great episode, but if you want to go back and see why we're saying this, watch Dino Ricky, man.
Yeah, watch Dino. It is a spectacular mess, and to be honest, I actually don't think it's that bad of an episode. I just think it's our weakest we've
it's
done.
It's definitely our weakest, yeah.
It's definitely our weakest. Other than that, probably eventually Bayou Billy, maybe?
Maybe, but I think there's laughs to be had there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm not going to poke fun at any of the other episodes. I think they all stand on their own other than Dino Ricky. I was really
sad
for that episode.
Dino Ricky was a...
It was definitely a sign that we needed to take a break. And then we did, after that one, I think, is when we got to Jurassic Park to end off season one.
No, right after that, we did Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay, which, so we caught lightning in a bottle again for the next couple episodes.
Yeah, and I think
and then we kind of went back to being burnt out, which is kind of how we were feeling with Dino Ricky, so...
Yeah, and like imagine Dino Ricky, imagine if we had done three more episodes that were of Dino Ricky quality. Like,
yeah.
If we had released the, what was it, the Earth World one. And,
yeah, so we had to take a break. And that's kind of getting around to, I think, where we might want to close off the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
For today. That's kind of why these breaks are necessary. So we're going to take a fair break between the last episode of this season, which will be two episodes from now, and the first episode of season three, just to give you guys a breather, to give us a breather, to give everyone a breather.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes it can be a bit much, you know?
So sometimes if there's too much of our hot air floating around, it could start to stink.
Yeah. Oh,
and you don't want our Impossible Gaming hot air to start to stink to you. Like, that, like, just nasty, like, fart caught in a bottle for, like,
gross.
60 years, and then you open up the bottle, and then you take a whiff, and you die.
I don't remember what episode it was, but oh, it was the Ninja Gaiden episode. There was a bit that I really liked that I had to end up taking out because it didn't really work in context. Because earlier in the day, I don't know if you remember this, but when we recorded the Ninja Gaiden episode, my Xbox controller died.
That's correct, yeah.
And we didn't have batteries, so I didn't have any batteries. So we had to go to we went to the dollar store and we bought dollar store batteries.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't even think they lasted the entire episode. So there was like halfway through the editing the episode, there's a part where the controller disconnects and I say something along the lines of long lasting my fucking ass. But I feel like that's just a funnier story to tell, like,
yeah,
on a podcast. Cause
yeah.
Without the context, it's not as fun. But, yeah, I am working on the next Impossible Gaming. It is going to be out soon, I hope. Of course, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're very funny. We're very cool.
Well, I guess they get to decide that. But we like to think we provide some sort of quality.
If you want to check out our Facebook page, you can head on over to facebook.com/gamesareimpossible. Follow us on Twitter. That's at ImpossibleVGs. Also, you can go to theunheardnerd.com, go to gaming, and then go down to Impossible Gaming. Every single episode of the YouTube show is on there, and those are a lot of fun, as
we've
mentioned.
All the great stuff by Will Harris is there as well.
Oh, yeah, Will Harrison, does The Unheard Nerd. He's got a lot of really great podcasts. He puts up nerd news. Just check out The Unheard Nerd in general, but mostly us, mostly Impossible Gaming.
Well, that was kind of douchey. check us both out.
check everybody. Check it all out. If you got time, just look at all of that shit.
Absolutely. And so we're going to end off for the evening here. We hope you enjoyed listening to us gab on about gaming and gaming memories.
Thanks so much, guys.